Welcome to the Living the Dream podcast with Curveball. If you believe, you can achieve. Welcome to the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, a show where I interview guests that teach, motivate, and inspire. Today, I am joined by Aiden Gabor. Aiden is a former associate of a well-known crime family. He spent years working as a confidential informant and helped bring corrupt police and politicians to justice. So we're going to be talking to him about his story and anything that he's up to currently. So Aiden, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on, Curtis. Thank you, sir.
Why don't you start off by telling everybody a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name's Aiden Gabor. I started off young, working for a crew, delivering packages, I guess, back, you know, spring this year, pick this up. As I got older, I was really big for my age, and Eddie, which was like a cobbler, he would tell us, he liked, I guess you can say, and I worked my way up to collecting and whatever he needed to do. I didn't care if I had to beat somebody or do what it took to take care of business, I guess you can say. And as I worked hard, I ended up, because of who I associated with, the DOJ decided to come up and kind of tell me didn't give me a choice. That if you didn't help us out, that we would, with the RICO laws and all this. At the time, I'm 18 years old, and I didn't know they were threatening my mother, my father, because my father was, it all started because my father was an associate with them, and I basically, they wanted me to basically put a snake in the snake pit, and I ended up, when I worked with the guys, I'd see the police officers, politicians bring money to, take money from, or whatever they were bringing in. You could see them at the I guess you want to call it the chop shop, but it was also like a little social place. And they would be up there all the time. And as I got older, and then they asked me to get information on these guys. And it wasn't one of those, I would go in as a, I guess, undercover. I went in as an informant. So basically, I'm going to mind my own. I don't think they really give a shit if I got hurt or anything happened. Maybe she told me, something goes wrong, you need to figure it out. We just need information. And at first, I mean, I was really, really, that's where the conflicting loyalties came in. You know, I want to say, you know, I never said anything against the guys, the crew I ran with and all that. Never did anything against them. When they did ask, I said, send me to jail, you can F off. And I ended up, when I started to get out, it really was like, why am I doing this? And then I realized, you know, these guys should be out there protecting and, you know, doing the right thing. That's what they were sworn in to do. And I ended up taking a bunch of them down. And I ended up working at a, I found out my love of my life. And then from there, I spent spirituality, which really, I was never a spiritual person. I mean, I was Catholic, and I would go into confessional, and Father John would ask me, like, hey, hey, what did you do? What bad things did you do? And I didn't do nothing. I didn't see nothing. Like, you got to be kidding me. And I don't know. And he's like, get the F out of here. We want to see you. Yeah, I used to piss them off. And I was real used to joke that I worked for the other guy. You know, I would recruit for the other guy because I had no religion in me. When I found the Baha'i faith and started reading up the Baha'i's readings because of a friend of mine, Sam, and my wife, Sabrina, telling me, hey, you need to get religion. And growing up, my best friend, Don, would tell me the same thing because he's very Catholic and I never read the Bible. But after reading that spirituality, something just hit me one day. And just sitting outside in the sun, looking up, I just felt a feeling of, I guess, euphoria. I felt a warmth. And Since then, I've been following it by faith and trying to turn my life. I can't redeem for any things I've done, but I can make the world better going forward. Learn that everybody's equal. We all bleed red, and we are all equal, men and women. I don't care, black, white, pink, purple, whatever color, we are all equal. We need to understand that and work together and make the world a better place.
Okay, so can you say who you worked for, or are you not able to disclose that information?
No, I'm not able to disclose any of that information. If we're giving you the book, it says names, places, and everything has been changed to protect the guilty. We all were guilty. Everybody I dealt with. There was nobody that was innocent. So to
Gotcha.
protect the guilty and protect my family. So other, yeah,
Absolutely.
now I don't disclose anything.
So, what was the worst thing that you done, if you can talk about it, when you were living that type of life?
Oh, you name it, I've done it. Most time, you collect. Everybody jokes, you watch the stupid movies, and they would say, "Hey, they would, afraid they're going to kill you, they're going to do this." Those things, bad business. No one's going to pay if they're not around. So you break a leg here, an arm, a finger. Fingers are the best, or even a toe. But you would, you get it and stuff. The only time we were anything really bad against is other crews that they were poaching. Or we did have some gangs, a lot of gangs in the area, and we would work with them. But sometimes they would try something different that we would say we wouldn't do. They would say they wouldn't do, Eddie was his biggest thing is no drugs. We do not let the drugs, let the gang bangers deal with that. We're gonna percentage. But sometimes they wouldn't pay, and so you would have a little disagreement. And that's why you worked with all the different ones around there. But yeah, I really can't say the worst things I've done, but I've broken a lot of limbs in my day.
Okay. So tell us what it was like working as an informant, like as much as you can. Did you have to change your identity? Did you have to move, or what was that like?
No. I didn't change really anything. They wanted me to go in as Ryan because the people would see me and say, "Okay, what's this clown doing here, coming here to talk to, be a cop? We know what he did, what shit he was into." And I remember the commissioner who I ended up putting away was as dirty can be. And he's like, "Hey, you're going to toe the line?" I go, "Sir, whatever I need to do, I will toe the line." And a couple of guys said, "Well, like, what are you doing in here? What are you up to?" I'm like, "I got my own shit I'm doing. Don't worry about me. I got my own thing. But you know what? You just keep yours, I'll keep mine, and we'll just stay out of each other's way." And they would look at me like, "Okay, we have to worry about this clown over here. He'll be fine, And they would ask me, I'd give them information on where certain things would happen, or if I can get tapes, or I give it to them. Basically, they want an informant that would be able to go round and round. If you do certain things and bring them in, and you have to testify, you're one and done. And they don't want that. They wanted everybody. They didn't just want one or two guys. They wanted the top, but they wanted the top down. They want to take the whole pyramid. So I got all the information I could get and ended up putting several politicians and officers away.
Okay, so tell us a little more about your faith. I don't want to butcher the name, but is it Baha'i faith?
The Baha'i Faith?
Baha'i.
The
I
Baha'i
was
Faith,
close.
it's the youngest religion, technically. Abdu'l Baha'i in the 1860s, he is the only one that ever did a miracle, because everything you hear about miracles, the messiahs that's come down over the years, about Muhammad, Jesus, and all that. They've done their miracles, and it's in the Bible and stuff. But this is he Abdu'l Baha'i did his with newspapers, and his readings is different because if you look at most Christian, I'm not sure what you're as with is,
I'm a Christian.
but. Are you Christian? Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
So in the Christian faith, the woman is subservient to the man, especially, 90 and most of them. And in a Baha'i faith, we're all equal. Men and women are equal. And that's what I've always thought. But I was never a religious person, not at all. And reading out the Baha'i faith, I could never be. I used to get my buddy Sam would tell me, be the best Baha'i you can be. You'd have to be perfect to be able to do Baha'i. You have to follow everything. You're like, no drinking, no swearing, no, 90% I can do. I still swear. I can't help it. I swear like a truck driver. And my wife and I, when we first met, we had a swear jar. And my first month, I had $850 in it. And to this day, we still kind of have nice. Right now, I'm at like, I think this month I'm at like 70 already, but I'm doing better. And the faith is everybody's equal. I don't care. I don't care how what race you are or anything, but we all look at the world as equal. And I wish the world would look at that. When I was not like that. And it's just something that made me warm inside that feeling the spirituality I never had. And I'm so glad I found it. And we do a class, which is like a Bible class, and it's Rory classes. I do it 3 times a week. This is a man that never did anything. I was, like I said, I joked. I worked for the other guy. I would recruit with the other guy. And nowadays, I work with special needs kids, and I work, trying to, and I do everything I can to try and make the world a better place. And that's kind of Baha'i faith is everybody's equal and we believe in each other.
Okay, well, in 2020, I was reading your bio. It said in 2020 you was diagnosed with ALS. So, kind of tell us how that's kind of affected your life for the last 3, 4 years.
It was back in the day growing up. I was diagnosed with no empathy, so I didn't have any if I hurt somebody, it sucks to be them. If they're better than bleeding than me, never worried about beating up anyone unless they're family or I mean we were family, we're very close friends, which is family. And I got diagnosed with ALS, and I didn't care about dying. I was never really afraid. When I got ALS, I accepted it, but then I realized. After finding Baha'i faith, I want to live. I want to be out there to help as much as I can help. And I do everything the doctors tell me. And I know what ALS is a death sentence. And again, I go back to joking that God's got a sense of humor with all this. I was cesspool. I was a cesspool. I did a lot of things. And God's repaying me. And He's going to do it slowly. And you know what? I get it. I get it. And it's affecting me a lot, but I am working every day to try and make the world a better place.
Okay, well, tell the listeners about your book, where they can get it and what they can expect when they read it.
Well, you can get it, you can get it at Barnes and Noble, you can get it on Amazon, Conflicting Royalties, you can go to conflictingroyalties.com. You can go on there, it tells you all the several sites, Kobo and all that. And the book reading the whole is, I hope, people can see that you can 90-degree yourself. You can be a bad ass, whatever you want to call it. But if you find spirituality, it can help you. And also, I want people to understand, that there's somebody out there with police officers that not all bad police officers are bad. When I went through turmoil times in the book, and you'll read that, I going through everything and reading these Conflicting Royalties is when you're in a family or crew, you got the La Jolla and it's a family thing. And I didn't do anything against them, but when you become a police officer, you got that blue line and you don't cross that blue line. And I became an alcoholic in my younger years when I started doing this really bad. And I would have put a 357 and put a Magnum round in there, spin it and put it to my temple or my mouth and pull it. I bet you I remember at least 200 times, if not more. I mean, I have nightmares with it. And it's got to be at least 200 more times. I don't remember because I was such in a drunken stupor that, I was, picking bad police officers, but you're going against the blue line. I see St. Michael with the flaming sword coming at me in this hallucinations. And I would, I didn't want to figure these guys should be taking us through. And every one or two bad police officers make 100,000 look bad. And I want people to understand there's people out there to take down these bad police officers. Not all police are bad. They're out there to protect, serve, and do the good. They're out there. 99% are good guys, men and women. And I hope that people understand that there's people out there going to not people understand that, you know what, spirituality is important. You need that in your life. You need to understand you can redeem yourself. You can't fix everything you've done. You can't, but you're going to attain for, you're going to talk, God's going to get you and what you've done, he forgives you. And just as we go to another plane, you gotta make yourself better. You gotta work yourself to be better, which I know I'm gonna have a lot of work to do. And I just want people to understand that the book out there is to explain that you can start out as a bad person, but you can change and make the world a better place.
Tell us about any current or upcoming projects that you're working on that listeners need to be aware of.
Right now there's nothing here. Everybody jokes that you should do a movie, and I'm thinking, yeah. It took a while for me to do the book. My buddy Sam, who got me with the spirituality, got me with the Baha'i faith I grew up with, he said that, we talked, and I said, you know what? He said, don't, we did this as a therapy. You need to do this as a therapy, just to do this. And when I went and talked about it, we said, because you write a book, a therapy. And that's how that started. Is there anything else? I mean, I've got nothing right now. I'm sure eventually, maybe, but I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm thinking that, you know what? People can read it, let's see how it goes, and if they can believe in it. And you can believe in yourself, you can change. And that's what I'm hoping of being out there. But right now, I have nothing really in the plans. Possibly another book, because I can break this down in three or four different books. But I'm not sure what I have left. And if I have, it took 2 years just to do this, and a lot of nightmares and night terrors, and I'm still having them. But it's something I need to get out, and I need to fix my psyche with that, I guess you could say.
Okay, well, throw out your contact information so listeners can keep up with everything that you're up to.
ConflictingLoyalty.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. AidenGabor.com. You got Aiden Gabor on Facebook. Any of that, so we'll have everything in there. And just getting the book out. But like I said, ConflictingLoyalty.com is our big one that we have for us. And that's really it right now. You got Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Kobo, all that it's on. And you can get the book on there.
Okay, close this out with some final thoughts. Maybe if there was something I forgot to talk about that you would like to touch on, or any final thoughts you have for the listeners.
Like I said, right, for listeners is, if you read the book, you can believe, you can read and see some people went through some shit, and that they can change, and that means you can change. There's help out there for everybody if need be. But your local, I don't care if it's Catholic, Judaism, Muslim, whatever, there's somebody out there you can reach out to and talk to that they will talk to you, whether it's your priest, your rabbi, any of that. You can have somebody talk to you that they're not alone, and that people have been through some stupid shit and some bad shit that can change their lives, and you can do it. But that's really all I have. You have anything for me, Curtis? You want to ask anything you'd like to know?
Nope, I think we covered it up. I just want to ask the listeners to follow, rate, review, share this episode to as many people as possible. Pick up Aiden's book, jump on your favorite podcast app, give us a like and a review. If you have any guest or suggestion topics, cjackson102@cox.net is the place to share them. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. And Aiden, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story.
Curtis, thank you so much. It was an honor to be on the show. And again, thank you, sir.
For more information on the Living the Dream podcast, visit www.djcurveball.com. Until next time, stay focused on living the dream.